Hello, and again, welcome to BitDepth. I'm Santiago Ramones. Across from me is...
Trevor Lindley.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How you doing, man? You doing all right?
I'm pretty good. I am really glad to have gotten you on the podcast. How do we know each other?
We know each other through ACM, obviously.
Yeah.
What was our first class together? I think we had...
Was that a...
Nick Clay, maybe? Was that that tax class we
had?
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think I met you through there, and then we met in Rob Derrick's
class.
Yeah,
yeah, post-production.
Yes, yeah.
And then you played drums for me on my
demo. Yeah, of course. Yeah, that was awesome. And which is out right now, right?
One of the tracks is out, the demo itself will be out at some point later.
Cool.
So we'll see how soon I get that
I'm
done.
Excited to hear
you. Yeah. So I'm glad to know a variety of drummers through ACM, but it's very cool to get to know a lot of people better. So first of all, what do you do?
What do I do? I call myself a drummer for the most part. I've been playing for about 10 years, so I've been doing that quite a long time. Let's see, I kind of try to play guitar. You know, I attempt it. Anyway.
I got a guitar with you here.
Yeah, you know, I look the part. Can't really play the part, but I look the part. And, you know, I do some slight videography, photography work on the side, more kind of fun stuff. A few visual programs that kind of run lights from people from time
to
time, you know, stuff like that. But for the most part, I call myself a drummer.
Okay. And you also do some electronic music as well.
Yeah, DJ, you know, make some mixes here and there, play some gigs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How long have you been playing drums and what got you started on that?
So I've been playing for around 10 years. I think I started in fifth grade band, you know, classic. What got me started for drums or music? Because that's two different questions here.
Answer it whichever way you want.
What got me into music, I mean, I've always been into it, you know, I've loved music forever, but what really made me want to play an instrument was actually seeing School of Rock for the first time, and that's, you know, as cringy as you want to take it, but I loved Zach in that movie, and I just wanted to be the guitarist so bad, and I got a Strat and got an amp, never practiced at all, you know, it didn't work out, but, and then fifth grade came along, you know, tried drums and trombone, kind of went with drums, not really the trombone route, you know, but,
I went the opposite direction. I wanted to play percussion, but like so many people wanted to be in percussion, and so I started with trombone.
Oh,
so.
Nice. There you go. All my buddies were in trombone.
Yeah.
I was so bummed that I didn't get in, you know? And, you know, the drum thing just kind of worked out.
Yeah,
It was great.
No, I mean, it seems like drums are a good instrument for, like, very young kids because it's, like, immediately fun as opposed to, like, giving a fifth grader a guitar. They're just kind of like, I gotta learn all these scales and chords and stuff. Like,
totally.
It gets really boring. But to start with, it's just like you hit stuff, it makes sound.
Oh, it's
come
great.
On.
You know, just going at it right away. You think you sound amazing. It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's a good time.
So who are some of like your major influences as far as playing drums?
My major influence is probably John Bonham is probably the number one. He's just always been, I always come back to him.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, he's got a pocket like no other and just has these fills that just are timeless, you know, you just keep going back to them.
Yeah.
Neil Peart from Rush.
Oh yeah.
Peart, I've heard both.
I
say Peart. you know, he's just a machine.
Oh
on
yeah.
Drums.
Oh,
like just a robot. You know, he's pretty crazy. But lately my biggest influence is definitely Kevin Parker from Tame Impala.
Ah. Okay.
He is just unreal.
Still been meaning to listen to Tame Impala.
You haven't listened to Tame Impala?
Yeah,
oh man. I'll show you some stuff. it'll be awesome. But I love him. He does some really cool effects with his drums that kind of developed his own voice, which is kind of what I'm wanting to do in area. And has some DJ effects in his songs too with the drums. He does some really cool stuff anyway.
Real quick, you threw out some drummer terminology in there that like I know what fills are obviously, and most people can figure that out, but pocket is a little bit more obscure for people. What does the pocket mean?
So the pocket is, it's just basically the feel of the song. You can, you kind of just have to hear what I'm talking about to really understand. But when you feel a drummer with a pocket, I mean, like, you can get me to dance if the drummer has a pocket. And I don't dance, you know what I mean?
Sure.
So it's just, like, all about the feel and, you know, just controlling the song and the tempo and, you know, just
kind of
how it feels.
And then where are you wanting to be?
Right now, I've kind of started working in the studio just a little bit here and there. Mm-hmm. Recording drums, which is a big step for me. I've always just been the player, you know, the drummer at live gigs, live shows and all that stuff. But now I'm starting studio work, and that's definitely attractive to me. And
oh, yeah.
I love the different techniques and, you know, just going and recording and all that stuff. But right now, I see myself as a touring drummer maybe in the next 5 years for a band, maybe try to do a small tour, something like that.
And yeah.
Maybe session musician later on in life, for teaching lessons, stuff like that.
Yeah. And then, so you also do some DJing and like you use a lot of, because I feel like you have the other side, like you're on the other side of the microphone too, like yeah, you're playing, but then you also know what it's like in front of the computer.
Yeah definitely. I DJ, I use Serato, and I'm trying to get to the point where I can look down as least as possible, if that makes sense, you know. I'm not really about just like the dude that presses play and having mix done beforehand all that stuff. Yeah, I'm also trying to throw in a little visual work with my DJ sets too, which definitely adds another layer.
Sure.
You know, stuff like that. Anything to separate yourself is what I'm trying to do with that.
So how has this like electronic sort of studio side like affected how you play drums?
It's definitely affected it. I'm trying to think how to describe that. Maybe more technically, if that makes sense. So like, like Neil Peart, you know, robot, perfect playing, you know, he's just a machine and it's amazing and I love his playing. But, you know, with the pocket thing, when you're listening to a lot of electronic music, it definitely affects like my mindset for how time works.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. You know, like I'm trying to think like a Chrome Sparks. You know who Chrome Sparks is?
I'm not sure.
He's just an electronic artist who everything is pretty much on the grid, you know. It's not too crazy. Like Flying Lotus, have you heard of him?
Nah.
He's a crazy beat maker that does a lot of stuff that sounds out of time and looping that doesn't match with the grid and stuff like that. So it's definitely a battle between trying to be that pocket drummer, you know, when the drumming stops and it's time for DJing, getting in that mindset of like, everything's on the grid, it's on time, you know. So it's definitely a battle between the two, I've found.
Yeah. Is it sort of like, because I mean, I feel the same way, like just being a musician and recording and stuff. It's that whenever you play something by yourself, you are time.
yeah.
But whenever something's being recorded, like it has to match. And so it's like, is there still like, can you still get that pocket even whenever you're recording to a grid?
It's possible. you know, there's certain drummers, man, I'm blanking his name really hard, but Miles Davis had a drummer on Kind of Blue, I think is the album. Yeah, that's the name. But he plays like almost a millisecond behind the beat, but it's perfectly in time. You know what I mean? Like behind the beat, but in perfectly behind the beat, if that makes any sense. So it is possible, but it just takes a lot of time, a lot of practice, you know. But I definitely like the drummers that can play off time, but still have the groove, you know, just a little bit.
Yeah.
I think that adds some realism to it.
So like, does playing to a grid sort of take away from the playing, or does it sort of pose a challenge that like it sort of sounds better?
That's a great question. It definitely depends on the style and vibe. I think playing to the grid definitely affects my playing with with the beat going, it does provide just the security blanket. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I don't necessarily want to be playing to a click all the time, but it definitely helps, you know? And as much as I could be on, I'll still get off that click a little bit from time to time. Yeah. But I kind of like that. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I really don't know how my recordings would go if I didn't play to a click at all. I think it might be a little bit of a shit show. But, you know, it definitely affects it and makes things technical at times and kind of hard to be creative if you're thinking in a grid-like mode. Mm-hmm. But it's all about your mindset and you're trying to do.
So then how do you feel about, like, quantization and stuff like that? Do you feel like it takes away from the recording or do you want to, like, do you want it to just line up right in there?
So I go back and forth on this all the time, and I've said it again, but it also depends on what you're going for. Tame Impala's early stuff, not super on the grid. It is chopped up with the drums a lot, but I kind of like the offbeat feel. I like the mistakes. I like the real part of the music. Mm-hmm. Like they were in the booth, whether they did it in one take or not, they still did that. But other times, like, some music just needs that grid. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about? And there's nothing wrong with a time and place for that at all.
Yeah.
And, like, I love stacking drums and getting cool sounds and, you know, stuff like that. So I think it really just depends on, you know, the style and everything you're going for. But I do love the mistakes. I think that's going to come back, too. You know, some bands are already kind of doing mm-hmm. that. Mike DeMarco kind of does that. I don't know if you listen to him, but...
I was listening to Arcade Fire this morning, and on their first album, you know, what you expect from, like, a first album, it's not mm-hmm. going to be, like, their greatest thing ever, but, like, there was one track where it was the female vocalist was singing, and, like, there was something in her vocal that, like, wasn't, like, right, it wasn't perfect, but I was like, yeah.
You're going to remember that.
Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. I love that.
Yeah, so that's something that I really appreciate about, like, you know, you have all this time to record, but, like, that realness still shows.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that was raw in the moment, and they kept it. I really like stuff like that.
So then how did you decide that music was what you wanted your career to be?
Actually, since fifth grade, that's pretty much been it, man.
Oh, yeah.
It sounds crazy, but it worked out in the first couple months. Drums really started taking off started taking lessons, bought a drum set. And then after that, I was just like, I'm a drummer, man. And, you know, there were some questionable times like, do I need a real job? But my parents have always been super supportive, and I went to a really great school that was very supportive of my drumming and everything. And it's pretty much just been the plan since
then. I mean, have you ever been, like, worried about it? Or do you think that, like...
Oh, I think we're all worried about it. We're all worried about our lives at the end of the day. But I also think that if I'm just determined enough, I know I can do it for sure.
And
I don't mean to be cocky about that. It's just, you know, you got to be... You have to go all in if you're going to do it, in my opinion. And I may not be, like, a touring drummer or anything else, or, you know, six people might know me, but as long as I get to drum and just, you know, live off of that, doing music, that's basically all I care about.
Yeah, and that's what's really great about having ACM here is that you, like, it's not just, like, a pipe dream sort of, like, if I just, like, play the drums, play my heart out, then maybe I'll just make it, but, like, you know... They give you the tools here to really do something with it. What's ACM like been for, or what's ACM been like for you?
It's been a trip, honestly. you know, I've been here. This is coming up on my fourth year at ACM. Yeah. I started as performance major and kind of morphed into production. Mm-hmm. So it started off as I'm playing drums, I'm doing the performance thing, you know, I've kind of been here before, but I definitely learned a lot of things performance-wise about, you know, getting into your music and performing a show is definitely a big thing that I learned.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't replace that at all. That was huge. And lately it's been, you know, the production side and really getting into other instruments and music. And I've really found a great appreciation just for a song. Yeah. Not just a drum part, not just like, oh, he shreds on the, guitar song, but like just every single part. I've just really grown an appreciation and got a way better idea of the industry for sure. That's, that's been a huge thing for me.
Do you make your own music?
I do. not really listenable at the moment. It's in the process, but, you know, I've gotten into chill wave music, kind of like washed out, Tori Amoy, stuff like that, and definitely inspiring. So I'm trying to make some lo-fi 80s, kind of just, you know, figuring stuff out.
But sure.
It's a long ways away from being released anyway.
I mean, is that kind of like one of your goals as an artist, or would you rather sort of be a drummer?
So I think down the road, I'm thinking maybe like 5 to 10 years from now, realistically, maybe I could put out some original content and stuff like that. But definitely drumming is my my goal and my main focus right now. And when I get in a room with other people, I just, you know, it just starts flowing right there. You know, everything works great. But yeah, I think maybe just further down the line, I need more practice with guitar and working on synths and, you know, melodies and all that kind of stuff.
And that's kind of, it extends to the idea of like collaboration and the, whenever you're making stuff yourself, like it's kind of easy to just kind of get wrapped up in like the specifics of everything, but whenever you're playing with a group or just like one other person, that sort of click happens. And so what's sort of been the balance for you with like collaboration or just making stuff yourself?
I'm a huge fan of collaboration. Like I would much rather collaborate than work with myself, but it's just, I haven't really met a whole lot of people in the similar thing. So that's kind of why I went my own route trying to make that. But, yeah, collaboration for me, I totally agree. It's just one of the biggest things, and working with people and having that spark happen is just like one of the best things ever, you know, it's awesome.
And that's something I felt whenever you were playing on my tracks is that like, it's one thing to write a song and kind of imagine what it's going to be like, but then for someone to actually play it down and like actually hear it all come together is something else. And it really, like, even though like I was just like writing the songs and just sort of you were playing on them, like it was collaborative for me to just be able to hear an actual drum part on it.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, you get to see people put their own flair on things, no matter how subtle or major that is. But, I love that.
And that's something that I could really hear, too, is that there was stuff that you did that was so right that I didn't even know was supposed to be right in the song.
Okay, that's cool.
Does that make sense?
sure.
Yeah, so like if like a fill was coming in and like you maybe you just like hit it or like rest in just the right place, like it, that collaboration really shows through.
Yeah, and then you know you can have more ideas from that too, which is what I like a lot. You know, it's just like it never ends. It's awesome.
Let's see. Have you implemented sort of like a technology hybrid kit in sort of what you want to play?
That is the goal. Anyway, I'm kind of waiting to buy a Roland SPD-SX drum pad that's kind of like a sampling. One of those big round black pads you can put samples on or triggers or loops or kind of whatever. That's definitely my next step. So in the process of saving up for that beast right now. But yeah, that'll be definitely the goal. And I've thought about doing DJ mixes with drums.
Yeah.
That would be really cool. Again, I'm just waiting on that pad because it would be so much easier just to bring a couple things rather than my whole kit, DJ setup, laptop, visual setup, all that stuff. But I've definitely got some things in the works trying to figure out right now.
Yeah. I'm excited to hear and see whatever that turns into. Switching gears a little bit. Obviously, the point where the podcast becomes a little bit deeper. What role does spirituality have in your life?
What role does spirituality play? You know, I choose to keep my religion just to myself. Just, you know, I don't know. Having it on the internet is a little scary to me anyway. But spirituality plays a role in my life. I just think it's beautiful, man. Like, no matter what side, it's just like I've met people from all across the board that are super hardcore Christian and super hardcore atheist, and they both have a beautiful look on life.
Sure, sure.
You know, you can just... It just really, it's how you see the world, in my opinion. You know, you can choose to see the good or the bad, and, you know, religion definitely kind of affects that sometimes, okay. And how certain people view certain things, but I've just met some really, really nice people that are good on both sides.
And then sort of, like, accommodating that, since I don't want to pry into your personal beliefs or put that into the internet. So
bring it on.
more moral questions instead. So how do you morally perceive selfishness, and like especially in a society that is so self-centered and like self-aggrandizing?
I'm sorry. Can you give me like a little bit more on that? Like just how I perceive selfishness?
Yeah, yeah. So is selfishness a good thing? Should it be encouraged? Should it be condemned? And where along that?
You know, I don't think it's good to be selfish, but there is to a point. Like I think you need to be selfish in the ways that are just bettering your personal health, if mm-hmm. that makes sense. Like you need to be selfish in that regard. Like you need to just make sure you're okay as a person. And like, I'm not saying, you know, be mean to anybody or anything like that, but I wouldn't agree that selfishness is necessarily good. More on the generous side.
Sure. And I mean, especially sort of regarding how like our culture, at least in America, is very like me, myself. And so like everything that I do for like my family or my work, you know, how do you feel that that affects society?
It's not good, in my opinion. You know, like the whole social media thing has really, I don't know if it's made people more selfish, but I think it's definitely brought it out. If that makes sense. You can see, like, it's just really transparent, in my opinion. You know, like I don't want to get too deep into that, but you can just tell. Like, you go on Instagram or Twitter, and you can just see the people that are obsessed with themselves, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that definitely transcends to just being people, like, in person, you know? It's just, like, some people have a hard time keeping a conversation that isn't about them.
Right, right.
Which is definitely weird.
Yeah. You know?
It's definitely weird, but...
But and then at the same time, like, being musicians, we sort of have to like sell ourselves in a regard that, like, hey, like, look at my stuff, you know. So like,
yeah, don't be selfish, but look at me, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, totally.
How do we sort of balance that, or how do you sort of balance that?
That's a great question. I am terrible at talking about myself. This is probably the most I've ever done. You know, it's really good to be humble, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be too cocky or anything. I think confidence is a big part, but not overconfidence. Mm-hmm. I'm going back and forth, you know, you want to be confident, but not too much. But, just being, if I see someone that like really loves their music, that makes me want to listen to their music.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm getting off topic, but. No, if I just see someone just getting into it at a show or listening to their own music, like, that's just, like, one of the biggest things. And I don't see that as, like, selfish. I just see that as, like, love, man. Love music, love for what they're doing. And I'm all about just, like, finding people that love what they do. And I think that's what's most important is just loving what you do, showing people that you love it. You don't have to be overbearing about it, but... I think that's what's most important.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're liking what you're doing, I think other people will kind of follow along eventually.
Yeah, yeah. And then it's kind of a hard line to walk whenever you're like, you know, I really like my music. And this is kind of something I've said on the podcast before. It's like, it's sort of a paradox in saying that, like, I like my music and you should listen to it. But you're also sort of saying, like, I think my music is good enough to take time out of your day to listen to.
Right, right. That's a hard one, man. Because I've met those people that are like, bro, you listen to this track, it's so sick. And then you're sitting there like, okay, yeah, this is cool, dude. Yeah, I like that one part. And, you know, you're just like, yeah. It's one of those things, but yeah. I don't really know how to end that one, you know. It's just, it is just finding the balance with that one, you know. Yeah, you don't want to be handing everyone your music and forcing people to listen to it.
Yeah,
it is asking a lot for people to take their time to listen to your music and stuff like that. So I think it's just when you find that place where you're like, you know, I actually want to take time to listen to it. It's kind of the goal anyway.
Yeah. So, like, how would you approach, like, say you just put out your new, like, chill wave album or something, and then you go, like, hey, it's out.
Yeah. I'm not one to force people to listen to anything, right. Just because I'm one of those people that I kind of just, like, take my time finding things, too, you know? Something's, like, 2 or 3 years old, and it's brand new to me. I'm all about it, you know? Sure. I'll rage on that for a couple weeks, and so, I don't know. I just kind of like to put things out there, you know, maybe I'll text some people or show a few people here and there, but if people are just kind of like murmuring over it and, you know, the response isn't like, oh, this is amazing or whatever. Sure. It's just like, I'll let people find it on their own. You know, that's kind of my approach. I think that at the end of the day, the best music rises to the top. Right. You know, it might take a while. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's definitely artists that are not as popular as they should be, in my opinion. But if your music's good enough, I think people will find it eventually.
Yeah.
That's kind of my thoughts on that.
I guess this is like a sort of strange question, but does good music necessarily come from good people?
Oh, hell no. Definitely not. There's so many weirdos that have great music out there, but, you know, I can't say that you have to be a tortured artist either to make great music.
Right.
You know, I just think it just comes from inside and, you know, just like whatever comes out, comes out. But, I don't think good people make good music or bad people make bad music, if that makes any sense. There's, it comes from everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, especially, like, I've been cynical enough lately to, like, yes, this is relevant to now, but, like, Taylor Swift coming out with, like, this just, like, crazy slew of just, like, I'm the victim, not the victim.
Right.
And, like, I don't know. Like.
She's an interesting one.
Yeah.
She is an interesting one.
Because, as far as that new song goes, I'm not a fan of the lyrics, but it sounds really cool.
Yeah. I'm just not a T-Swift fan in general, so I'm probably not the one to ask about that. Right. But yeah.
Or even just like speaking of other potentially terrible people making great music, Kanye is another great example of some amazing stuff coming out, and he's just
bad shit crazy.
Yeah.
I go back and forth because it's like, I don't want to support, have you heard of XXXTentacion? He's a rapper. Yeah. I just butchered that song.
Yeah, I have no idea how it's actually pronounced.
But like, I've seen him, like, you know, he like beat his pregnant wife or something. And at that point, I'm like, screw that dude. Like, I'm never supporting his music at all. But on the Kanye level, like, I love Kanye West. Like, oh, man, he's the man. And people give me shit for it. And, like, can you support that crazy dude? And I'm like, I'm not supporting, like, his actions. I'm just supporting his music.
Yeah.
He's definitely an artist. And, like, he is one of those that definitely had some mental issues that just puts out amazing.
Yeah.
Like, he's ahead of our time.
Sure. Like, but yeah, that's a strange, like, because earlier you sort of mentioned that, like, you don't have to be a tortured artist to make, like, good music, but, like, there's something about
it definitely helps.
Crazy people
making definitely.
Just the best stuff.
Right, right. You know, like Jim Morrison, like he crazy dude, but I mean, he was next level. There's plenty of crazy people out there. And I think it just like, once you reach that point of no return for, you know, some of those people, I think music is just the outlet that works for
right.
them, if that makes sense. Yeah, you know, yeah. It's like, I do not have a hard life at all, but when I have a rough day and I go in and play some drums or play some guitar, to play the guitar, you know, or stuff like that, it definitely helps. And I think that's kind of just what works for those artists too. It's just like, we're all a little bit tortured in some way. Some people way more than others. And I think that's just an outlet for some of us anyway.
Like, what do you think is a good ratio of crazy?
A good ratio of crazy? Man, that is a great question. I think you need to have about at least 10% of, like, I'm a little bit, not normal, just 10% of reality. Let's say that. You know, you got the 10%, and then 90% is just, like, going off the wall, being an artist. But I think you just have to have just
some sort of grounding.
A little bit of grounding, but, you know, again, there's artists that have none of that that are just awesome and amazing. So, you know, it just, it's whatever works for you.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I haven't listened to very much of Death Grips, but like...
Crazy. Crazy.
I don't know, man.
Yeah. You know MF Doom or anything?
Not very much.
He's, I don't want to compare the two, but he's another kind of off the wall rapper that does some really, really cool, crazy stuff. And, you know, it's just like, I also wonder, you know, those crazy artists that we hear about, obviously like Kanye, you know, he's crazy. Like he's got some psychological issues going on, but I also really like, the idea of being a crazy artist, but while being a normal person, like, you know, kind of having a stage persona. Like, I'm not saying that all artists do that at all, but I think that's it's a very cool thing to do.
Well, there is sort of a level of like, whenever you are playing music or something, like some of that just comes out. Like, you know, I'm sure a lot of musicians are just perfectly like normal, like quiet people. And then the minute they get on stage, they
game
like,
over, you know?
start doing front flips off of amps or something.
Oh, it's crazy. Yeah. You know, and then they get off the stage and they're just, you know, it's like,
where's that come from?
Deep down somewhere. Man. I don't know where it really comes from. Cause I mean, it kind of depends on the day, but I'm outgoing sometimes and not outgoing sometimes, but when I walk on that stage, like, it's mine. Like, you're going to know I'm there for sure. And I think, I don't know, I think musicians kind of have some kind of performance hardwired somewhere. I think you have to bring it out, but I think it's down there, you know?
Yeah. I guess sort of, like, bringing it back to, like, the other stuff, like, at the end of the day, we also have to be, like, business people to an extent. And I mean, like, if you have enough money, you can like, you can hire someone to be the business person for you. But like, at some point you do have to, like be a crazy musician and then also like try to make money off of it.
Right. And that is probably the hardest part of being a musician in my opinion, because it's, you want to go off the edge. You want to be the crazy guy that's just making all this cool music and doing all this stuff. But at the same time, you got to worry about taxes and, like, you know, all that shit. But, it really is just about finding the balance. I think, you know, if you can just designate time, that's kind of what I've been trying to do is, like, okay, I'm going to put 30 minutes to an hour away. It's really going to suck. It's just going to be no fun at all, but just get it done and then worry about the music and just kind of let your mind go.
Yeah. Honestly, like at some point, like if you just learn how to make like spreadsheets, like it's actually really nice just like punching in numbers and just does it all for you. It's like a little exciting for me.
Okay. I'll have to give that a go sometime.
Yeah. Because you just like punch in the numbers like, oh, I have this much, like, I didn't know I had this much money. Like,
Definitely.
It's like, I have 10 more dollars than I thought I did.
And we need that.
Yeah.
$10 adds up.
And then that sort of like extends to like, we've seen some like shady business practices going on in like the music industry. You know, there's the like age old story of just like someone signing onto a record label and then just the record label just eats their soul, oh, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they're done in a couple of years or less.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you think the music industry is gonna move forward through that, in your opinion?
Yeah, I've thought about this a lot, and I still have no idea. But yeah, I mean, streaming is taking over too, so that's just another thing to worry about and all that. I mean, honestly, I don't see streaming going away just because everyone just wants free music now. Mm-hmm. And once you give that to them, you can't really take it away, sadly enough. I don't agree with it necessarily, but mm-hmm. it's what it is nowadays. You know, I do think there's cool labels out there. That Flying Lotus guy has his own label called Brain Feeder, and like Skrillex has a label, mm-hmm. and you know, artists are starting to make labels now. So I think, you know, maybe cool labels will kind of make like a comeback, and who aren't totally trying to screw over artists. But mm-hmm. I think being just like indie and independent is almost kind of just the way to go now. Yeah. You know, I feel like that's just the only way to do it, and. Yeah. Just putting your stuff on the internet for free is just kind of the way to go about it, sadly enough, you know.
So then how do you make art that is both, like, meaningful but also, like, marketable? Like, at what level do you go, like, I don't like this necessarily, but I know that the kids like this or something. Yes. Like, do you make these sacrifices should you?
Right. That's a great question. I do make those sacacrifices as of now, just because I'm trying to live and make money, you know? I do that in my DJ sets a lot, mm-hmm. you know? It's always battling, like, I love this, but is anybody else going to like it, you know? But, so you're always sacrificing there. I think, you know, you have to make sacrifices for the better of the music, mm-hmm. in my opinion. I don't know necessarily if that means making it more marketable. I think it's just whatever sounds best, which is probably not the most marketable part about it. Mm-hmm. So I think it definitely depends on, you know, for DJ gigs, sure. Yeah. Like you gotta, it's give and take and stuff like that. But in my own music, if I was doing it, screw everyone else. I'm doing what I want to do, what sounds best. I like stuff that is more timeless, you know? Mm-hmm. It's just like, you put a Zeppelin record on, mm-hmm. I mean, like, that's never going out of style, you know? I'm always trying to find the balance of, like, well, like, what are some influences I have that it's mm-hmm. gonna stand the test of time,
but,
like, what is also the new wave of music? What's next? Mm-hmm. So I'm always trying to find that balance, too, of just, like, what's gonna sound good for, you know, five years from now, what's going to sound okay? And like, but what's 5 years from now going to sound like as well? If that makes any sense.
Yeah. Do you think that, like, I don't know, should stuff be like stifled in that regard? Like, or would you rather see art that people like truly want to make?
I just want to see stuff that people want to make. And I really, you know, I'm sure there's certain parts of the record making process, obviously there are, that you just have to cut to make it to that final record. Like, this is going to sell, you know, like, people are going to like that. But I just really love artists for artists. So, I mean, like, they know what's best for them, and, you know, most of the time anyway. Obviously, there's producers and stuff that help them out and things like that. But I really just want to get inside an artist's head and see what that's about. That's what I'm,
What's sort of some unconventional stuff that, like, you've wanted to try that you feel like wouldn't really work?
Just on the drums or just music in general?
Anything. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Let's start with on drums.
On drums. Let's see. I've kind of wanted just to redo my drums in general and try to just, like, the setup of them anyway. Yeah. And just kind of make a new way to play drums, if that makes any sense. I mean, like, forever, it's just been the same setup, mm-hmm. left or right. It's either turned around, cross hands. Mm-hmm. You got a couple different ways to hold the sticks stuff like that. But I've thought about just like redoing my entire setup and trying to just like figure out a way to be unique in that sense. It would definitely make your drums, your playing sound a lot different too. So that's not really that mind blowing, but sure. that's just what came to my mind right now. Definitely thought about making some abstract visual art with my DJ mixes. Mm-hmm. That's my next goal. I don't know if I really want to talk about everything it entails, but a lot of Flaming Lips-esque, weird, you know, Adult Swim off the wall. You know, that very just eye candy, stuff like that.
Yeah. But it also seems like the more that people start pushing these boundaries, like the more that it seems to be that people are into it. That like you get shows like, I mean, as crazy as like Eric Andre and then but even just like a bit less so with like Rick and Morty that goes like way off the wall, but like people are still like, oh, I'm totally into that.
Yeah, they love it. Yeah. You know? I think pushing boundaries is great.
Yeah.
You
know,
I think honestly, to the point we're at right now with like Eric Andre and stuff, like it's just gonna go even further. Like I don't really know how it can, but somehow it's just gonna get weirder and weirder. And I'm totally down for it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Going more to like everyday life sort of stuff. How has consumerism sort of shaped decisions that you make? I feel like for you as a drummer, like you have to like keep up with the latest gear or even like in production too, like all this stuff is so expensive or whatever, but like money.
Oh and yeah. Constantly
showing out for having gear. To get the right stuff.
Right. I definitely went through a phase when I was just like trying to update everything. Right. Just get all the latest stuff. I definitely kind of got out of that mindset of getting the latest and greatest for certain things. You know, obviously, you're going to get some certain gear in there. But honestly, I've been trying to decrease my setup a little bit, all of my stuff, you know. What do I really use? What is useful? What tones do I like? What shells work the best? And stuff like that. So I think you know, it's really hard to just like want the latest and greatest and everything like that. But when you have the gear that works for you, I think that's all you need. You know, it's just like once you find your sound and everything, it's just like, whatever works for you.
I would be remiss if I didn't ask about politics,
especially
politics. Nowadays. But it still has to do with moral questions, obviously. And so here's something that I just keep harping on the podcast, and I don't know how you feel about it, but like being a brown dude that has to deal with the repercussions of what Nazis think, I also find that violence is just not justifiable.
Right. I've gone back and forth on the punching Nazis thing many times, and it's just a hard question because I don't think violence is the answer at all. I just in general, like, you know, they're gonna run someone over with a Dodge Challenger or whatever, and then just like I just don't think it's right to just start punching them in the face after that. Sure. Obviously, maybe if they were just full on shooting people down in the streets, maybe it's time to give them the old 1-2 to the face or something like that. But I really don't think violence is the answer either, man. Yeah. I mean, you got to be able to just talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've lost a lot of that, especially with the my side, your side. We can't agree on anything because you're a red or a blue or anything else. Like, it's just, we've lost a lot of just communication skills. And you know, obviously some of those Nazi dudes are just not going to understand ever. And I don't know. Hopefully they can just die out in the next 20 or 30 years. And by the time we're old men, we'll be laughing about the crazy times of 2017 with the baboon in the White House and everything else.
Sure, but like, that's also what they were saying, like, at the end of World War II as well. We really hit a rough patch there. Who would have thought that genocide was going to be okay? Good thing we never have to deal with this again.
Yeah, it's also true. I mean, yeah, I just don't think enough conversation is happening between both sides is honestly what I think. It's just like, we just got to rally, man. That's what it comes down to. We got to just...
Yeah. But rally about what?
Coming together on just like normal issues, racism, like bigotry. Like equal pay. Like, can't we all agree on like just like climate change? Like all these normal things that I would think a normal person would be like, well, yeah, everyone should, you know, have all those things. Be, you know, just like care about Mother Earth and, like the economy and another person and like, you know, stuff like that. And I think we just need to have more conversation like that. And obviously it's going on, but there's just a lot of bad publicity on both sides.
How do you encourage people to be better people?
How do I encourage people? Let's see. I mean, I don't know if I call it encouraging. I just try to be a good person to everyone else. And that's what I would say is encouragement, I guess. You know, it's just like, if you can just be a decent person to people, like, all I ask is they return the favor, and I think that's pretty much the only way I encourage it, because I don't want to be that dude just like, be nice to everybody at all times, you know, and just like super overdoing it and stuff like that. But I think if you're just good to people, I don't know, hopefully they return the favor, or at least learn to do that over time.
Lastly, what advice do you have for people?
What advice do I have for people? Basically, always be willing to learn. That's the one thing that I've really learned at ACM for sure. And I've just kind of just welded that over into life. It's just like, I don't know anything. Like, I think I know one thing, and then 2 days later, I'm just mind blown about the universe and music and whatever else. So I think just a willingness to be open-minded to things. You might not agree with it. You might not even think it's right, but I think you need to listen to people and just be willing to just change, maybe not your core values or who you are, but just be, you know, accepting of other ideas. Right. I think that's my advice, because that's just what's most important, is just being open to things.
Yeah. I like that a lot. Trevor, thank you for doing this with me.
It's been a great time. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Where can we find you and your things?
You can find me on social media. Instagram is Trevor Lindley. My Twitter is Tweets by Trev with two V's. And I think you can find me on Facebook, but please don't. There's some embarrassing things on there. So please don't add me on Facebook.
And then I guess I'll let people know whenever you put some music out.
When something goes out there, I'll probably put it on YouTube. Mm-hmm. I think it's Trevor Lindley on YouTube, but that'll definitely be on my social media and stuff like that.
And then whenever I put out my demo, I did a photo shoot yesterday, so like, I have some like social media redesigning going on, but as soon as I get the artwork and stuff figured out, that will be out, and then you get to hear
Trevor's
drum playing. Hopefully it won't be marred by my terrible mixing.
Not at all.
So we get to talk about a lot of drumming and stuff, but like, you'll actually get to hear it. You know what? In fact, I might even just like put a song in this podcast.
Oh, all right. There we go. That sounds awesome.
Yeah. Again, thank you for doing this with me. Thank you for taking the time out of your day.
Thank you for having me.
And I always end the podcast with, first, I guess I should say where my things are. I'm Santiago Ramones. This is Trevor Lindley. You can find all my things on my website, santiagoramones.com. which is where I put all my music, this podcast, any of the stuff that is about me. I don't really make like a different page for the different aspects of me. Like everything is me. And so my cosplay, along with the podcast, along with my music, everything is me. I always end every podcast with my three things, sort of shapes my life philosophy. And those three things are love never fails, it's going to be okay, I might be wrong.
Heart broke at me.